when you look at war in Europe, it's a somber time. It's a time of reflection. But sometimes in these great and momentous things, we forget where it all started. St. James, in his epistle in chapter 4, speaking about war as sin, puts it this way quite succinctly. Where do these wars and battles between yourselves first start? Is it not precisely in the desires fighting inside your own selves? You want something and you lack it, so you kill. You have an ambition that you cannot satisfy, so you fight to get your way by force. This dynamic applies not only to this great, horrible thing called war, but it applies also to the fights between us, to the discussions of how we get things. People often report about a robbery and someone was hurt or even killed for X amount of dollars. No, they weren't. They were hurt or killed because of the unbridled desires of some human being. Because money is an empty symbol into which we pour our desires. No one wants money for the sake of money. People want it for the sake of the desires deep in their heart of what it can bring to them. One of my friends once told me, "Oh, if I went to confession to you, your ears would burn." I go, "Well, dysfunctional actions that ruin your own life, I don't find particular appealing." Because sin is like that. It has a beautiful, glossy front. Did you ever notice that religious people are cold, old-fashioned, but criminals never are? No one ever goes to a prison and says, "What an old-fashioned place. They keep on killing, stealing, and cheating, just like thousands of years ago." No, religion is old-fashioned. Virtue is old-fashioned. But stealing? How intelligent. What a good businessman. He stole, he cheated, he lied. So even though we think about war, St. James also says that sin, which we all have an experience. People say, "Father, how can you speak so educated about sin?" Because I'm a sinner. I know what it's like. I speak from experience. Sin, when it comes to full term, gives birth to death. It destroys relationships. It destroys the future. It takes hope from your heart and leaves you with a vacuum, which we often fill with things that can never satisfy the deepest longings of the human heart. So for us, when we look at war in Europe, think of it as sin. Think of it as starting in somebody's heart and somebody's mind. They wanted something, they didn't have it, and they were willing to kill to get it. And in your own life, every time you have different desires, ask yourself the question, will this desire bring you life or will it bring you death? Will it bring you happiness or a temporary satisfaction that fills an empty space that will be empty once the feeling is gone? So the joy that Christ promises is not a fleeting joy. And when you speak about guilt, and people often joke about it, remember, guilt is a time to change your life. It's a sign something's wrong. If you stay in guilt for a long time, it's just an excuse for not making a decision. And it's a pleasant pastime for someone who does not want to choose. But for Christians, we say every sin, from the smallest to the greatest, is not somewhere we should live. But it's a test. It's a challenge. And it's a point where we humbly say, "I know it's wrong, But God gave me the power to say no. God gave me the power to make a U-turn. God gave me the strength to decide what I want to do with my life. My unbridled desires or the lure of easy fame or money will not run my life. I choose what I want to do with my life. I will never blame anyone for my sins and my mistakes, but I will always give God the credit for giving me His grace to say stop, change, choose life, and then I will be in control of my life, and my desires will turn to the noble things of beauty, of joy, of family, of forgiveness, and a bright future. Slava Isusu Christu!